Hello, Daniel Barnett here, and welcome to episode 14 of Employment Law Matters. And this week, I'm discussing two recent cases on TUPE. Now, TUPE is one of my least favourite topics. It's always highly fact-specific, and every couple of years, the Court of Justice of the European Union comes up with opaque and largely impenetrable judgments. Anything that our appeal courts say is usually illustrative of a principle rather than creating one, but there have been a couple of interesting cases in the last few months, which I'm going to come to in just a second. Before I do, a big thank you to Ferry Across Mersey, who left a lovely review on iTunes. Ferry Across Mersey said,
"As an employment law consultant, I find Daniel's podcasts invaluable in keeping my knowledge refreshed and up to date. Highly recommend for employers and advisors alike."
Thank you, Ferry Across Mersey. And if you want to send your details to podcast@danielbarnett.co.uk, we'll send you a copy of my book on employee investigations. Please do post your reviews on iTunes, and we will pick somebody every single week to win a copy of the book.
Welcome to Employment Law Matters with Barrister Daniel Barnett.
So, two recent cases on TUPE. First, let's have a quick look at the case of Hare Wines against Kaur, K-A-U-R. The claimant, Satwant Kaur, worked for a business that was taken over by Hare Wines. She had a poor relationship with a colleague who was due to become a director of Hare Wines. The tribunal said the poor relationship wasn't one side's fault or the other side's fault, but was just down to both of them not really getting on. She was dismissed just before the transfer, the reason given being the new company, Hare Wines, didn't want her due to the difficult relationship. She brought a claim for automatic unfair dismissal in the tribunal. The tribunal agreed that the transfer was the principal reason for her dismissal, and therefore it was automatically unfair. The claimant was dismissed because the transferee-employer did not want her. Hare Wines appealed, first to the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and then to the Court of Appeal. It argued that the sole or principal reason for the dismissal was not the transfer, but instead was the difficult relationship between Ms. Kaur and the director of Hare Wines. The Court of Appeal held that dismissal for personal reasons, in this case the personal reasons being the difficult relationship with a colleague, doesn't prevent a dismissal from being automatically unfair for being related to a TUPE transfer. It's also worth noting that the fact the claimant was dismissed on the day of the transfer was very strong evidence in her favour to show the principal reason for the dismissal was indeed the transfer. The close proximity between the dismissal and the transfer was suspicious because the difficult relationship had been going on for some time, and despite that, there hadn't been a dismissal. It was only when the TUPE transfer came along that the dismissal took place. Employers have an obligation under the National Minimum Wage Act 1998 to keep pay records showing that they pay the national minimum wage. This requirement continues after employment has finished. And the Employment Appeal Tribunal has looked recently at what happens where there's a TUPE transfer. Does the transferor, the old business, have to keep and produce those records for employees who've transferred to the transferee, another employer? Well, it was answered in Mears Home Care against Bradburn. In that case, the employees transferred under TUPE. A few months later, they requested pay information from their old employer, the transferor, as part of a query about payment of minimum wage. The transferor didn't reply within the time limit, so the employees lodged an employment tribunal claim. The tribunal said the transferor, the old employer, was the relevant employer for the purposes of the National Minimum Wage Act, because the query about pay related to the employee's employment with the transferor, and said the tribunal, the duty to retain and produce pay records lasted beyond the end of employment. So the tribunal ordered the transfer raw, the old employer, to pay compensation. But the Employment Appeal Tribunal disagreed. The employee's employment hadn't ended, it had transferred to the transferee. When there's a tupi transfer, the transferee steps into the shoes of the transferor in relation to the employee's contracts. All the rights, duties and obligations pass from transferor to transferee, including the obligation, said the EAT, to keep and produce national minimum wage records. The transferee was therefore the relevant employer, not the transferor. Any request for pay information should be made to the transferee, the new employer, even though it was for information which predated their employment of the employees. Now, this all sounds a bit counterintuitive. And indeed, the EAT judges accepted the situation is inconvenient for transferees who are required to produce another business's pay records. They said that businesses should make sure that full pay records pass from transferor to transferee as part of the transfer. It's worth remembering, of course, that criminal liability does not transfer under tupi. So transferors, old employers, should make sure that the contractual paperwork also deals with the return of pay information if the transferor is ever prosecuted in relation to transferred employees. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Please do leave a review on iTunes if you can, or subscribe so you get these every single Tuesday. You can subscribe at danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast. Next week's episode is on Without Prejudice and Professional Privilege. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Any information on this podcast is for general guidance only. Always seek legal advice. Please see full terms at www.danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast-terms.